T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, well, welcome in the Yankee general manager, who is obviously a nice one to take away from his busy time. I mean, you got to be busy when you got half your team on the injured list. Cash, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
All right. Obviously, crazy time for you. I mean, in all the years, can you remember a time when you've had this many players hurt at one time? I can't. Can you?
No, not at all. And I'm sure that, you know, I've talked to some other clubs at times, and some haven't seen it like it. And other clubs are like, "Yep, that's been my last few years," you know. So, you know, sometimes you don't see the forest through the trees, and you know other teams have dealt with some stuff. But yeah, in terms of our experience, I've never experienced anything to this level where you're taking hits everywhere on an every other day basis.
Are you being overly cautious, or is it just seem like they're taking a long time to come back?
No, we're not being overly cautious. In some cases, I guess it's individual. I mean, in some cases, our initial assessments, our thoughts on with doctors involved and multiple doctors involved were, like in Hicks's case, where it wasn't really anything. He's just had a stiff back. It's going to be a few days, and spring training's not a big deal. And next thing you know, you're doing an MRI a week later, and next thing you know, he's getting injections, should resolve it, and it doesn't. Then he's getting a second round of injections, and all of a sudden, you got the VIG is running, and you're just taking on more time, and exponentially, because obviously then you got to get him going. And so, it is what it is. It's, you know, I think we do try to take without question an honest approach with our fan base through all media outlets to tell them what's going on,
right.
You know, your best educated information from all parties involved. But unfortunately, in most of these cases, it hasn't been good news, and the time frames are extensive, some more than others, and some have had setbacks. And so, in the meantime, it's, you know, move ahead regardless. Opportunities get created somewhere else for somebody else, and it's up to them to make something of it. And so, we do have guys that are in an exciting way taking advantage of those opportunities and doing well, but. You know, we certainly want to get our guys back when practical, not as soon as possible, because that goes without saying.
First, Gio Gonzalez. Now, you thought pitching's been pretty good, as we know. So obviously, I didn't see the knee, but how about your thought first on Gio Gonzalez?
Yeah, there was, you know, at least to try to frame it, because he's going to sign somewhere and be a starter with somebody in the big leagues. So that wasn't the issue. But when we engaged Gio Gonzalez, we had talked to his representation in the winter and then stayed in touch with him through the spring. And it got to the point where once his market, you know, obviously hadn't developed, he said he never had any offers. We brought him in an on-roster invite under the guise of a starter, you know, as starter insurance. And so the contract was designed in that way too. He has no interest in being a reliever. And so now we're staring with this opt-out where he's pitched well his last two outings, and I don't have a starting spot for him. So it's add him and throw him in the pen and say, you know, hang with him. And for an athlete that's, you know, historically outside of, I think, twice last year in a postseason run, you know, pitched out of the pen for Milwaukee. But, you know, in a dialogue I've had directly with him, as well as our own assessments, is it, you know, worth us throwing $3 million into the bullpen and then hope it works out. The contract was kind of prohibitive also, and it had so many incentives that geared up towards starting, so it wouldn't be a tradable thing for any of these teams that are going to sign him now as a starter. They'll repackage, they'll make a new deal, whatever it's going to be. But, you know, we had to look at it a lot of different ways and ultimately honored the fact that he was starter insurance for us, and when that insurance policy was expiring, we couldn't cash in on it because I didn't have a starting spot for him.
All right, that's fair. Judge, let's start there. What is your early prognosis that you can best give me on Judge? Just 2 weeks in reassess, is that basically it?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be able to put a time frame on it. You know, he does have a significant injury, so he's going to be down for a while.
Okay.
And a while would be past that 2 week time frame. But in terms of trying to frame it, in terms of what it's going to be like, I think we'll probably, you know, get a better feel for this thing, you know, as we move forward. But 2 weeks is probably premature of getting that feel for it.
But this is a significant injury.
Yeah, he has a significant, strain there, and because of that, it's going to be a while. So at the end of the day, we're just going to have to, repackage and plug and play with what we've got, evaluate if anything presents itself outside. In the meantime, that allows us to tread water or excel. You know, our job is to find a way regardless of what circumstances is. So our effort is to find a way to excel regardless. And so if something presents itself outside that allows Booney and our staff to have more choices, great. But in the meantime, we're thankful for what, you know, Tauchman and Frazier, for instance, have done, and Gardy is obviously being Gardy, and
Frazier's been good, and you know, Tauchman's been good so far. I mean, he's had his moments. He really has.
Yeah. I think once he's had a chance to settle in and get some consistent at bats, because early on it was spotty, and obviously settling in. Now he's it's forced upon him regardless. He's going to get every day at bats, and he's responding well to it, and clearly we're thankful for that, and so. You know, these guys, the B-bombers, they're going to be called upon. That's what they're there for. But normally you're not having to have all of them deployed at the same time. But, you know, these are unique circumstances. But they are major leaguers regardless. And so, lock yourself in. It'll be an interesting ride. But I do think that we honestly do feel that we can compete on a daily basis, especially when you get the pitching that we've been getting from our rotation.
We're talking with Brian Cashman. Before I get to the pitching, let me run down some of these guys. You know, Aaron brought up the idea that maybe Andujar could be utilized in some DH capacity until you made a final, real destination as far as what date. Or like, let's say he was going to have a surgery in July, that you could maybe use him as a DH before that. Is that something that's on the table that's possible, or is that unlikely?
Well, I'd say if he has a destination with a surgeon, then we would just be doing that.
Okay.
So no different than in a different injury.
But, I mean, if you were going to lose him till, no matter any way, till next spring, once you cut him, could you get at-bats out of him for a month or 6 weeks as a DH before that, or it doesn't make any sense?
No, we would just – if it was – you're going to have a surgery, whether it's now or later, we'd just do it now. There's no reason to avoid it. But I'd say this is probably not too different, although it's a different injury than when we dealt with the Tanaka diagnosis years ago. It's all right. We have a diagnosis. It's not a definitive situation where you have to act on it. We have to wait and see how, rest and rehab and the response to that rest and rehab process works. And there's a chance that, he could avoid it. It doesn't mean he would avoid it entirely. If it, rears its ugly head in the future, then you got to deal with it. If it's something that needs to be addressed now, we have to deal with it. So the optimal word I get constantly thrown at by our medical staff is, once it declares itself. So it hasn't officially declared itself as needing a surgery, but because we are always trying to communicate in an honest way and direct way and, create that party line that everybody can enjoy in terms of information gathering. He has an issue from that dive back at third base that created a labrum tear, and we have pitchers running around and position players running around with labrum tears that they can move past it, and some obviously most can't, but it hasn't declared itself as something that needs the surgery yet, but we can't rule that out either.
But any chance you would use him in a non-throwing role, like at first base or DH, would you go that route or not likely?
I think that would be an option out of an array of choices. So, I think it's more of an option. It's not the option I'd prefer personally, but it'd be an option in the event that, listen, he, with an extended period of strengthening of the shoulder, or something along those lines, and you can play more on the DH/first base side because it's not as much throwing in there. I think the answers to the questions our manager or I receive or any of our staff receive is more along those lines rather than, Okay. Yeah, it's a possibility if that's what we needed to do and it was, better, as he continues to strengthen so he avoids, and that if that allows him to play play under those circumstances better than having to wait for him to get over to third base a month later or 2 months later after he finishes off other strengthening programs. I think it'd be under those circumstances, but otherwise, our certainly hope is to return him to third base if we can. But while I say that, Ushela has obviously been fantastic defensively over there.
Yeah, very good.
Stepping up while he's gone, and doing a really nice job for us. So got to give some props to Gio.
How about all right? Let's take them one at a time here. Who's closest to coming back?
Gary Sanchez.
Okay, so that's what I figured. Sanchez, then Stanton. Let's take him.
Yeah, Sanchez has a rehab assignment tonight in Charleston. If all goes well, we can pop him on a plane possibly as early as tomorrow, and he can be active as early as Wednesday if all goes well. So
okay, Sanchez is first. What about Stanton?
I would say Stanton probably. We'll see. Stanton and Hicks. At some point, could be the next guys. We've got such a long list. I'm looking on my wall here to make sure I'm not missing anybody. But I'd say Stanton probably is more realistic as the next guy. Tulo could be in that mix too at some point as a guy here, with Hicks. I'm following those two. So I'd say Stanton, Tulo, Hicks, probably in that order. Maybe Tulo before Stanton.
Is Stanton still a ways away?
Every day we're missing him is a big...
I mean, is he 10 days away minimum?
I'm sorry?
Is he 10 days away minimum?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, he's swinging the bat. He's having great batting practice sessions. I think you'll start seeing him out on the field doing full field, probably BP sooner than later. And he is responding well and feeling stronger. And then maybe if, knock on wood, we get him off the West Coast, as we enter, we're obviously Anaheim, San Francisco, and then we go to Arizona. Somewhere along that way, if boxes continue to get checked, he could maybe fly out of there and either join one of our minor league affiliates to do more extensive work before rehab or go to Tampa to get finished off before he gets deployed for rehab games. So currently that's what our hope is at some point here on this three-city West Coast swing that, we can get him back off the West Coast, and that means getting him closer to a rehab assignment.
How about Hicks?
He is going to start on the field heat BP. I think it's today. He was here in New York on this homestand working with our guys doing cage work. So he's graduated from the tee from the toss to internal cage work, and now he'll be out on the field. So he's getting much closer to obviously, being considered for rehab assignments, but he had not, he really hadn't had any spring training. So he's going to have a little ways. Yeah, he's got to build up both offensively and defensively, as a center fielder. He's going to be longer than Stanton.
And Tulowitzki?
Tulo's down in Tampa. He went with a crew of guys. I think he left either Saturday or Sunday to fly down to Tampa and start getting finished off down there. And obviously we'll get him in some games. But I don't have the exact date just yet, but the calf is clearly improving, and he's doing a lot of activities now. But again, we just got to make sure his lower leg, his lower half is up to par. And we look forward, obviously, being able to get him returned and plugging with him again. So unfortunately, it was something that, happened sooner than we would have expected. Obviously, when we signed him, we just needed between him and Gleyber Torres to hold the fort for the 3 or 4 months we were missing Didi. So Gleyber's still there and standing, thankfully. But it'd be nice to get Tulo back in the mix here, too.
And Bird, I mean, not that Bird, I understand Bird was disappointing when he was there. But, where is he?
He's in the boot for 2 weeks, and then we're going to reassess. So I think he is today would be day 7 or day 8 of that 2 week period. So.
And Didi, is he going to beat everybody back? Maybe Didi will beat everybody back. I mean, because he seems to heal.
That'd be great, because I'm a big Didi fan. So,
so am I.
We all are.
Yes. But he seemed to heal quickly in the past. So how's he doing?
He's a tough cookie. He's doing good. He's doing, so far his rehab has gone off with knock on wood without a hitch, even though it doesn't guarantee anything going forward. But he's doing really well. And I still don't have a time frame of, June, July, or August, but he's checking every box every step of the way, with the demeanor that you'd always expect from him. So he'll be a welcome addition whenever we can get back to him down the line.
And anything new on Severino or Betances?
They're in shutdown mode right now. They're both here in New York, return, because there's no reason to have them down in Tampa just sitting around. They're not. Betances, I think it's 3 weeks of no activity, which he's in, I think, in the first, just finished the first week of, and and Seve, same situation. So I think they're both, you know, maybe Seve's 2 weeks into that now. So I think it's 4 weeks of Seve doing nothing and 2 weeks, 3 weeks of Betances doing nothing. And so we're looking at, you know, in Seve's case, sometime, without a doubt, I'd say, you know, in my mind, at, you know, sometime in July you're dealing with at the very earliest. And in Betances' case, as a reliever, you know, once he gets through the 3 weeks, you get the throwing program going, and then, you know, is it, you know, probably 3 weeks after the 3 weeks are up, so it's probably a 6 weeks total, but, you know, because as a reliever, it's not going to take much as much to get him going.
And you had to love what you saw out of Paxton the last two starts. I mean, just attacking the heck out of everybody. I mean, and just
that's the guy we traded for. That's the guy that we wanted to anchor with Seve from, you know, power guys from the right and left side to join the rotation. And so anyway, with Pax, he's transitioned over. Obviously, there's some adjustments, you know, that he had to make, you know, coming to this environment, I think, in which he spoke to a little bit. But but at the end of the day, you know, obviously exclamation point against Boston, and now, you know, clearly his last start yesterday against Kansas City. Those are as good a back-to-back starts I've seen in a while from one of our guys.
Yeah, that's superb. Now, what's going on with Green? I mean, when you think about where Green was 2 years ago or even last year, Green has really fallen apart here.
Yeah, I mean, Larry, you know, we're working with it. We're, you know, Larry and Booney and Mike Harkey are bullpen pitching coach. I mean, as you know, I'm sure his confidence is a little low right now. I thought his last outing, which was yesterday, you know, he was unlucky. You know, he had a walk mixed in with a bloop that was well placed down, you know, in front of Frazier and Wright and behind Voit at first, and something the second baseman couldn't get to. So it was just perfectly placed in the right field, no man's land. He had a ground ball that you know, found its way through the infield, and he mixed a walk, I think, in between. So the walk was bad, but otherwise he, you know, essentially did his job with weak contact or ground ball contact, and the ball just found places. So yesterday, I would say, was actually, even though he failed in the stat line, but if he produces those type of results, you know, he'll be fine and everything will rectify. But I definitely believe, without a doubt, like a lot of guys, if you're struggling, you're fighting yourself, you're questioning yourself, and that's what all our guys are there to help him through it, because he has been a superior reliever for the last
four absolutely
years.
Yeah, and a strikeout machine. I mean, a guy went in there and just blew people away.
And he's a strike thrower too, and so, you know, he's gotten a lot of swing and misses for good reason, and so, you know, he's off a little bit right now, or you can say whether it's off a bit or off a lot. Statistically, it looks really, you know, un-green-like, clearly, and
right.
But our confidence is still there, and Booney's going to keep giving him the ball, and we're going to walk through fire with him for a period of time, and you know, obviously, it may be the leverage. You know, opportunities might not be there as much, you know, as they work through it. That's the first phase of that, which is all right. You know, give them a taste of something that's
right,
not as valuable or important if you can. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you're forced to regardless. Right. But you know, hopefully, you know, he'll pop out on the positive end sooner than later, because clearly we need it. The bullpen's been a strength for us for quite some time, and it's been a weakness for us this season, which is actually a surprise, and that's why.
Big surprise, yeah.
That's
very
why this
big
game is
and,
so
and really
hard to
the
predict.
Big, and really the biggest part that people have overlooked with all the injuries is the bullpen hasn't been good. It really hasn't been what you expect.
No, we've had some struggles, whether at times with Britton or, you know, yesterday out of Aino or Greeny or Holder, and you know, and so obviously we're missing Dillon and at the same time, and so, and some other guys though, well, Chapman's now resuscitated, and you're starting to see, you know, again with patience and stuff, you know there were some questions early on him. There's no questions about him now. What an inning he did, the hold serve while we were fighting our way to get back in that game against Kansas City yesterday. You know, he answered that challenge, and then Sessa's been really, really good, and you know, the kid Harvey's done a nice job since he's come up. So when the dust settles, it's hard to keep everybody online and pitching to their abilities or playing to their abilities, but that's you know, the staff's job to constantly, with these players, navigate the ups and the downs of a long major league season.
What's the hardest part of this, going through this for you? What's the most hardest thing for you to handle with this part of this thing, dealing with this every day?
You know, you get a lot of the questions, in fairness, about your staff, about the medical team, about the training, and if there's any, you know, and you get them from everywhere, whether it's media, whether it's, you know, ownership, whether it's fans, whoever. And so, you spend a lot of time and effort to dissect all that to make sure that, you know, everything that should be done and has been done is being done. And so, yeah, there's that extra scrutiny that you have to deal with. And, you know, we honestly feel that what's happened to our injury crew is really more haphazard than an end result to anything that's been transpiring. I mean, we have one of the best, we feel, medical teams going from our doctors to our trainers to our physical therapists and strength and conditioning people. There's no new, equipment or training regime or any of that nature that's been instituted. And there, so all these injuries are so, distinct and different. It just happens to be a real rash of bad luck. But dealing with it, makes it more difficult. But at the same time, you look for positives and, when you're dealing with it, and those, that comes in when guys are stepping up and performing well. And hopefully we can keep speaking to those guys like a Clint Frazier and a Talk.
Well, let's stop with Frazier for a second, because people always raved about the bat and talked about the bat. And, you wondered if he was put in a spot where he had to really, be an anchor in a lineup. He's sure been able to handle it so far. That's for sure. I mean, he's been very good doing it. Yeah.
And he wasn't a finished product. I guess remind people that he hasn't finished off. He never got finished off because he missed an entire developmental year. So his experience level at AAA is not extensive. He missed all last year with the concussion or most of last year. And so, if we were where we needed to be in terms of health, he was going to be finishing off on the offensive and defensive side, just below at AAA. And I know that you've seen some routes and stuff early, especially you had a tough game in Baltimore down Camden Yards, which people pointed out too. And those were examples of, I felt for the guy because I'm like, all right, he's being, deployed right now, and you could argue that he's just, we got guys developing still at the big league level, which is happening everywhere. That's not new to 2019. Sometimes if you could do it the wave the magic wand and do it the one way, you'd have guys ready to go when they're finished, but it's just not realistic. So he's got put into a position where we're counting on him and others, and he's stepping up, and so you got to give him real props. And this is stuff he lives for. He talked openly in the wintertime about, I'm going to take that job, I'm going to be there, I'm going to be with that team on opening day. He wasn't. He didn't have a good spring, but then when needed and called upon, he's really risen to the occasion. He's someone right now that, I think people are going to be careful to pitch around, because he's got a good mojo going and he feels good about what he's doing. And he knows he's impacting us. So his confidence is high, sky high right now, where when we talk about Greeny, it's the opposite right now. He's probably low.
And also give Gardner credit, because he's been pushed in a spot where he's got to play a lot. And, he didn't get off to the best start, but you know what? You can count on him. He'll always come through. And that's what you like about him. He provides leadership, stability. I think LeMahieu has provided that too. I think he's a guy you can count on for that. And I think those guys can kind of, at least they've been able to anchor things a little bit for you right now.
No question. And then, you got a manager here in Booney that's showing the discipline. I get him props, because I know there's some curiosity of, wow, we got all these guys down and Gardy was resting the other day, and it's because we're in the middle of a 13-game
You
got to
give him a
row.
Day off now and again,
yeah. As much as you're going to have to rely and push the pedal to the metal, you're going to have to be forced to play other guys because guys need rest. And that was the thing, like even on Judge, like he had a DH day the day before the injury. And so DH is not a full deployment, but again, sometimes you can use that to give guys a little bit more of a blow. And so I know that our manager and our coaching staff and the front office are trying to navigate, that aspect of it too, which is with who you've got, you can't run them into the ground either. They need to get spotted and get a recovery day, because a major league season is much more difficult playing, I think, than any other sports, because it's 162 games in about 187 days, I think. And it's constant. It's not going to stop for you, and you got to manage obviously the daily grind of it too. So I think Booney's doing the best he can with that.
I think it's going to be a change for a couple of guys. Like Torres is not going to see great pitches. He's got to understand that. He's just, they're not going to give him good pitches to hit in that lineup right now. They're just not going to.
Well, so far this past week, I'll take a lot more of those weeks in terms of not the injuries, but in terms of the results where, obviously we're hitting that win column a lot more than we were seeing earlier in the year. So hopefully we can do damage and do well on the West Coast and keep adding. We just got above 500, and now we want to add to it.
Is there anything, is there any more, have you exhausted everything in your system that you can exhaust, or is there anything else that you can reach down for if you need it?
They're there. I mean, there might not be, you know, people you're looking to go to if you have to, but again, if somebody else goes down, I'll be going to another name that you know, you may or may not be aware of, but it's by default in some cases, and that's just where you're at. And especially the time of year, you never want to get hurt earlier in the year because it's harder to get stuff outside your franchise until after the June draft. And so it doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's more difficult. The prices are usually twice as high because they're insurance policies for other clubs. It's such a long season that everybody wants to keep and maintain what they've got at least this early. And so, you know, the rash of injuries have come at the worst time they can come, but it doesn't matter. You have to find a way to withstand them regardless, because you know, that's the gig. You know, that's the responsibility for all of us in it.
All right, thanks very much for coming on. Appreciate it. Thanks, Brian. All right, Brian Cashman, is your update on the Yankees? And listen, other than Sanchez, nobody's right knocking on the door. Looks like he could still be 10 days away for anybody else. We'll see if maybe late on the West Coast the Stanton can come back. Hicks is at least a couple of weeks away, maybe Tulowitzki. So it sounds like Sanchez next couple of days, then Stanton, maybe 10 days, maybe Tulowitzki around the same time. Hicks looks at least a couple of weeks, and you heard him say significant injury. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but significant oblique injury? Probably 6 weeks. I mean, I hate to say it, but probably. Back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.